This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Neil Conan in Washington. Here's a Thanksgiving question that arrived in Ask Amy's email box. Dear Amy, our 21-year-old daughter has dated her 21-year-old boyfriend for 10 months. Without going into detail, this boyfriend is very alternative looking. We've told our daughter that as long as she's in school under our financial wing, we don't allow extra tattooing or extra piercings. Is it okay if we mention to our daughter that we've noticed that her boyfriend has not properly prepared for social gatherings and that we would appreciate that he be conscious of his attire and dress for the occasion? Signed, Trying to Do Right. Well, whether it's the boyfriend's tongue stud, unruly Uncle Bill or Cousin Millie and her hyper 2-year-old, for many of us, eating with the pool of people who share our memories and our DNA is an annual source of agita. Of course, you love your family, but the prospect of spending time with some of them is enough to make you want to park the sleigh on this side of the river and order in Chinese. Can't we all just get along? Ask Amy. Amy Dickinson writes the Ask Amy column for the Chicago Tribune. She joins us to sort out frantic family holidays. Later in the hour, who's not at your dinner table? Send us an email now to tell us who's missing this year and how you'll remember them. Talk@npr.org. But first, if you need advice on surviving your family or if you have tips for the rest of us on how to survive ours, give us a call. 800-989-8255. Email talk@npr.org. You can also join the conversation on our blog at npr.org/blogofthenation. Amy Dickinson joins us by phone from her family's home in upstate New York. And happy Thanksgiving, Amy.
Happy Thanksgiving, Neil. I'm actually in my kitchen. The squash is, you know, it's happening as we speak, which is great.
So you're not only ready, you're cooking.
Right. The squash is squashing. Yeah.
And upstate New York, is it looking appropriately Thanksgivingly?
It looks exactly as Thanksgiving should here. It's chilly, gray, you know, it's a very, very grim, kind of Andrew Wyeth weather, I think of it.
Huh.
Gray and brown.
Gray and brown. So what did you advise to trying to do right?
Well, when I got that letter, which, and the writer went on and on about tattoos and piercings, and this young man had shown up for other family events, she felt less than adequately attired. And so she said that her family tends to dress up for Thanksgiving, and would it be okay if they told their daughter to make sure that he dresses up? And I said that I felt that she could go as far as to say, would your boyfriend like to borrow one of Dad's jackets this year? You know, like you can kind of finesse it by offering a hand. But that if they show up dressed less than beautifully, guess what you have to do?
Smile and bear it.
Yeah, and remember that what's Thanksgiving about anyway? It's about diversity. I mean, really, you know, the legendary first Thanksgiving was about people who were different coming together. And some of the most memorable Thanksgivings, certainly in my life, were when we did have people outside the family come in and give us, you know, an alternative point of view, which is always a good thing.
Sometimes it is, unless they get in a fight with Uncle Bill.
I know. I hate it when that happens.
Yeah, I do too. I think you illustrated the most important point, which is they showed up.
Right.
Once they show up, that's pretty much you're stuck at least until after dessert's done.
Right. And I also reminded this person that if they showed up dressed poorly, it actually reflects on them, not on anyone else. I mean, it's really their responsibility.
So are there any kinds of preparations you can make that would make sense to, at least if you can anticipate the annual problems, the political argument that erupts on one side of the table, for example?
Okay, Neil, here's my strategy. I have this theory that families who host Thanksgiving dinners put so much effort into the meal that they forget that they're actually entertaining a house full of people. And when you're only thinking about the food and not thinking about the event itself, I think this can lead to problems.
Mm.
So my idea on Thanksgiving and other big grand holidays like this is to give people jobs. I mean, it helps, I think, if you're a little bit organized. For instance, I love the idea of men, kind of the men, giving the men a job to do together. Maybe there's some outside stuff that can be done where they can, I like the idea of families kind of tramping around outside a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
I started the day today with my brother-in-law, who was flying his Falcon out in a field. I mean, that's a great way to start Thanksgiving. So if
he's either got a very talented Ford or he's a falconer.
He is a falconer, and he caught some duck that we will be eating today.
Wow.
Yeah, crazy. But, you know, I love the idea of families going on hikes together. For years, my family celebrated Thanksgiving in Washington, D.C., and everybody who wasn't essential personnel would go to a museum. And we would come back very excited, and it gives everybody something to talk about.
Let's see if we can get some listeners involved in this conversation. Amy Dickinson is our guest, of course, the author of the Ask Amy syndicated column for the Chicago Tribune. If you need some advice on how to deal with a problem at Thanksgiving with the family, 800-989-8255. Also, call or email us if you've got some tips on how the rest of us can survive meeting with our families for dinner. 800-989-8255. Email is talk@npr.org. And why don't we start with Pam? And Pam's on the line with us from San Francisco.
Good morning or good afternoon.
And happy Thanksgiving, Pam.
Thanks. The same to you.
Thank you.
This question relates not only to Thanksgiving, but to dinners or gatherings in general. Twice recently, we've had people for dinner who have, at the table, insisted on saying grace, which is something we normally don't do. And I'm just wondering about the propriety of that.
Is that at your house?
At our house.
Uh-huh. Okay. Amy?
Is this about saying grace at the table?
Yes.
Okay. You know, I've actually gotten a lot of letters about this in the past. And, you know, it's a sticky issue. And when I opened it up to readers, they kind of came down on both sides of the issue. Of course, as hosts, you want your guests to feel comfortable, but I don't think it's really appropriate for guests to impose their practices on hosts. So, you know, the compromise being you let them do what they need to do and just sit quietly or, you know, go into the kitchen or whatever while they're doing it. This is a really big issue with families and with guests.
Is it possible, Amy, and let me ask you, Pam, you may have more practical experience with this, if it's the same people every year, can you advise them a year, you know, as you're, I hope you're coming over for Thanksgiving this year, I just wanted to remind you, grace is not one of our traditions?
Well, I don't know. In this case, these were casual dinner parties, and we are going to the home today of one of them, and we fully expect that there will be grace, and that's not a problem at their house. I just wondered when people come to somebody else's house, whether it just didn't seem appropriate to me.
Well, and I agree, Pam.
And we're already sitting. The food has been served, and we're sitting ready to eat, and then somebody says, oh, well, we have to say grace. And hands are extended, and it's, you know, it's fine. I don't have a huge objection to it. In fact, these are people that we know through church, except that, well, anyway.
Anyway.
It just didn't seem appropriate somehow, and I just don't know if there's a way to forestall it I'm not going to even try to forestall it at Thanksgiving because it seems more natural somehow, but it just made a little bit of a stickiness at the beginning of the meal.
Right, and readers who have dealt with this, I agree with you that it is, I think it is inappropriate to impose that kind of thing on your hosts. And, you know, one thing to do, as Neil may have suggested, would be to say, you know, I'm wondering, we don't normally say grace, and I'm wondering if we could not do it when you come over next time. Mm. And just see what they say.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. See you in church, probably.
Right.
Pam, good luck.
Thank you. Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving to you. Let's see if we can go now to, this is Katie, and Katie's with us from Flagstaff in Arizona. Katie,
hello.
Hi, Katie, hi. You're on the air. Go ahead, please. Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving to you, too. My question is regarding, I'm in my mid-30s, I have two small children, and my mom, whenever she comes to visit, is very critical of how I'm choosing to raise my kids. And so my question is, how do you walk that fine line between doing what you know is the right thing for your kids and not getting into this horrible dysfunctional situation where my mom is undermining whatever I'm doing, or, you know, no, we're not going to have pie before dinner, but grandma said we could.
Hmm.
Any help there?
Well, and one thing you can do, one way to try and sort of steer people in another direction is to praise them. Find something about your mother to praise, and then you offer a little correction. Like you say, Mom, I really appreciate how attentive you are to the kids when you're with us, you know, or if there's something else you can find that she does really well. Mm-hmm. And then you say, but it's, you know, it's a little tough on me when you correct, when you don't let me correct them when you're at our house, because right. then they get confused, right. you know.
Because I just turn into the big mean mommy, and she's wonderful grandma that lets the kids do whatever they want. And I would be fine with just writing that out, except it's really hard on my children because all the rules are different.
No, and if you say to her, not even necessarily that it's hard on them, but that, you know, they get really confused when that
yes,
happens.
It's very confusing.
Yeah.
And you also have to, I think, acknowledge, as Amy suggested, that, she's trying to be nice to them. She's just trying to be,
right,
you know.
Right. And, yeah.
No, if you
appreciate that, but.
If you say, you know, the kids love, you know, they can't wait to see you. They love seeing you. You're so great with them, blah, blah. You're everything they could hope, but there's just this one thing. It's very hard on them and very confusing on them because after you leave,
that yes,
we have to do boot camp.
Exactly, and get back to school and all that stuff.
Right.
So Mom, don't worry this year if your particular serving of gravy tastes a little like bitter almonds.
So you know what you can do too with a mother, especially, you can say, hey, I'm wondering if you could help me out here. You know, you ask her to do you a little bit of a favor and
right.
sort of engage her as a co-parent.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that might work.
Probably won't work if you ask her for an update on the Packers game, though. Katie, good luck.
Absolutely not. Thank you so much. And I am very thankful for you, Amy, this Thanksgiving, giving me a little bit of advice as to how to make it through the day.
Thanks. Katie.
Ask Amy's Amy Dickinson is with us this Thanksgiving with advice on how to handle dinner with that extended family. 800-989-8255 if you need advice or if you've got a tip for the rest of us. I'm Neil Conan. It's the Talk of the Nation from NPR News. This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Neil Conan in Washington. Happy Thanksgiving. A little later in the show, we'll talk about who's missing from your dinner table today and how you'll be remembering them. They might be serving overseas or just stuck in traffic. Maybe they're hosting a radio show. Email us your stories now, talk@npr.org. First, we're asking Amy for advice on how to make it through the obnoxious questions and silly arguments today. In other words, Thanksgiving dinner with the family. We know you love them, but sometimes they can drive you a little nuts. Amy Dickinson writes the syndicated Ask Amy column for the Chicago Tribune and joins us every other Thursday. If you need her help today or if you have advice for the rest of us to share, 800-989-8255. Email is talk@npr.org. You can also send us your stories on our blog. That's at npr.org/blogofthenation. Here's an email we have from David at New Mexico State University. The best way to avoid the stress of Thanksgiving with family, he writes, is that you never see and with whom you have very little in common is to avoid having dinner with them at all. Spend the holiday with close friends that you love rather than passively conforming to some perceived cultural expectation. My wife and I are about to spend the day with 10 of our closest friends, only two of whom are blood relations. I'm all for spending time with family that I care about, but I have no interest in simply putting up with the holiday to uphold appearances. That's just self-abuse.
Well, what fun is that? I mean, what do you have to talk about for the rest of the year?
That's not a challenge, I guess. Yeah.
Right. Well, you know, that's one way to go, that's for sure. But I don't know if, you know, when you, that person doesn't sound like he has children yet. But, you know, sometimes there are little pleasures in being with people you don't see eye to eye with. I mean, you can learn from them.
Let's see if we can get another caller in on the line. This is VJ. VJ with us from Fremont in California.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call and happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving to you.
Thank you. I'm a Hindu from India, and I am going to be visiting my parents-in-law after 4 years. My relationship with my parents-in-law is fantastic. They treat me like a son rather than a son-in-law. There are some things that make me a little uncomfortable, and I'm looking for advice or suggestions as to how I can handle this situation. The situation is this. In the Hindu style of life, we have a number of deities, a number of gods to whom we pray. And as time has passed since my marriage 20 years ago, what's happened is that there have been, you know, this small prayer will help you tide over these kind of problems, this small prayer. And so now what's happened is the number of prayers that I say each day has increased phenomenally. And in the past, I have requested and I've said, look, if it's a commitment that I've got to make for the rest of my life, then it's rather you don't tell me, because once you tell me, then I'm committed for life, because I feel the necessity to say the prayers. Mm-hmm. How do I handle this kind of a situation when I'll be visiting them sometime in December this year?
Well, Vijay, how time-consuming, you know, do you say them all at once at a certain time of day? How time-consuming is this?
Traditionally, it is said immediately after one's shower in the morning. It started with, I used to have a two-minute prayer, and now it's going on for about 15 minutes, and lifestyle being of the kind that it is in the United States, 15 minutes is, to me, quite an intrusion, because I do get phone calls at home from work and so on and so forth. So it becomes a little, I wouldn't say stressful or tiring. It's just that, you know, it consumes some, it's becoming a significant time in my morning work.
But, you know, I know people who jog in the morning for an hour. It just seems to me that if this is important to you, important enough for you to do it every day, that, you know, everybody in your life should respect it. And it sounds like your in-laws are great.
Indeed, they are. And I know that they have nothing hard or bad at heart when they tell me. They just want me to succeed in life, and that's the reason they tell me. But I don't know how to tell them, like, hey, you know what, I appreciate the sentiment and the feeling and the thought that comes behind your telling me. But please try and appreciate my situation also, that each time you tell me a prayer, it adds 3 minutes or 2 minutes to my morning prayer, and it keeps on adding on and on and on. And I don't drop a prayer from my morning's prayers. I have to keep on adding, because once you start, it's typical that, you know, you don't stop.
Oh, my gosh. I think
the fear of God is always there, right?
Oh, my gosh. I think I see your issue. That's fascinating. That's fascinating. But if you could just explain that to people, I hope that you could stop them before, you know, before they ask you to add a prayer.
Yeah, that's right. And I'm only looking for ways how I can do that very gently without being offensive or hurtful.
Well, don't you think just explaining it the way you have?
It wouldn't be received in the manner that I would like it to be received, in the sense, you know, let's face it, it's the son-in-law, father-in-law, son-in-law, parents-in-law kind of a relationship. Never the son and the parent, even though the relationship between us is great.
Well, you know, as I've said before, anytime you want to correct someone, if you start by praising them, it throws them off. You know,
okay.
So if you say, I treasure our relationship, sounds like you've known them for many, many years and you really value them. And if you just start out by telling them how much you treasure their relationship, and then you go on to, and it's a very logical explanation for what your problem is.
Yeah, true. I'll try this time. Thank you very much.
All right, Vijay,
before you go.
Yeah.
You're still there. I wanted you to help me out with something. I was in Turkey a number of years ago, and I was always wondering what people in Turkey called the birds that we call turkeys. And it turns out they call them Hindis. It appears turkeys come from somewhere east of wherever you happen to be. And I was wondering what people in India call them.
I have no clue, because kids of slaughter and growing up of turkeys in India is not a practice.
Really?
Not tradition.
Not tradition.
No, it's not.
Okay. Well, thanks very much for that.
I'll try and find that out anyway.
Okay. Thanks very much.
Your call. Bye-bye.
Amy, here's an email that we have. This from Peter. If it was only aesthetics that we had to worry about, what can we do for our 83-year-old grandmother who does not understand that she has a very ripe aroma, which affects everyone nearby? We're very reticent to approach her, both because we would like to spare her feelings and that she will even then continue to be oblivious to her effect. How can we approach her, a wistful daughter-in-law in Berkeley?
Oh, boy. Well, when I've dealt with this in my column in the past, readers have offered very great suggestions, such as giving her a gift of a basket of sachets and soaps and scents and, you know, and things that she might be willing to use. That's one way.
Mm-hmm. That's one way.
Yeah.
Good luck is another way.
Yeah. Oh, I know. And you know what? There are things that just need to be tolerated. It's, you know, that it's just that simple.
Let's go to Matt. Matt's calling us from Binghamton in New York.
Well, good afternoon. I hope you're having a pleasant holiday, other than you're working.
Well, other than I'm working, yes.
I just wanted to point out that I'm the alternative person in the family. I'm the radical environmentalist, the atheist vegan, and I'm very much looking forward to Thanksgiving dinner with my family. I have some very devout religious relatives. And as far as I'm concerned, it's a holiday to celebrate what we have in common and accept our differences. I may have a lot of problems with the way Thanksgiving is celebrated these days, but my family is very well aware of my viewpoints about life in general, and they don't need to hear them on Thanksgiving. We just want to see each other and enjoy each other. And if my family wants to eat turkey and pumpkin pie that's loaded with eggs, if they set aside some vegetables and potatoes with me without butter, I'm fine with that. And if my brother wishes to say grace, it's an exceedingly small sacrifice for me not to object when he wants to do that. I just think that it's just such a happy time to see my family that we can just ignore our differences for a few hours.
Amy, Matt is clearly not in my family or yours.
Matt, you're going to put me out of business, my friend. I love your attitude, and I think you've totally got it straight. You know, celebrating our differences and celebrating diversity is really what this holiday is about.
Well, you know, there's a lot of love between me and my family, and like I said, we disagree about certain things, but we don't have to disagree today.
Well done.
Matt, have a happy Thanksgiving.
Well, thanks to you, and I hope you both have a very pleasant rest of the year.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Let's see if we can get, this is Kate. Kate with us from Phoenix, Arizona.
Hi. Hello, and happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving.
I just have a quick solution for what has worked for me in the past, and hopefully will work for me today, when it comes to the whole grace thing, because I myself, I'm pretty agnostic, and my family, they're pretty right. I lean so far to the left, I'm in danger of tipping over. So I've figured out a way to sort of cut everybody off at the pass. So as we're gathered around, and I just want to mention that I've rehearsed this so I have the exact right intonation, and I smile at everybody as I'm saying it, because I have a couple of relatives who belong to some, you know, religious groups where they drone on and on and on, and I just don't want to hear it. So I say, and before we're all seated, if we could just take a brief moment in silence to privately give thanks. And it works.
That's perfect.
Everybody sort of bows their head, and other people gaze around, but, you know, nobody gets offended. So anyway, that's all I had to say. Oh, no, it works for me, and it might work for others.
Kate, thanks very much for the advice.
Sure, you're welcome. Thank you. Bye.
Bye-bye.
You know, one thing I love about that is that Kate said that she rehearsed, and people don't realize that you do need to sometimes rehearse these things. Another idea is for, and this is really a way to get the conversation started around the table, is to ask each person to say one thing they're grateful for and thankful for, including the kids. And this is a great, that's when you go, oh, I didn't know you got a promotion. You know, this is a really nice way to start the meal.
But isn't that a little like asking all your guests to write an essay before they can start to eat?
Oh, no. No. You just say, you know, I'm really grateful for this. I'm really grateful for that. You know, and some people will say, I'm very thankful that we could be sitting here together. You know, I think it's a really nice way to just set it going.
Let's get another caller on the line, and let's go to Yvonne. Yvonne's with us from Maricopa in Arizona.
Yeah, I just wanted to say that I think that it's okay for Grandma to feed the kids pie before dinner. I absolutely allow my mother the prerogative of giving the kids that kind of freedom. I think the joy that my kids have to be around their grandmother, the special relationship that they have with them, it's worth it. And it's a little bit confusing at first, but now my daughter's 3 years old. She's very clear that there's mom's rules and there's grandma's rules, and they're different. And I think that it's going to help her in real life, because the truth is that there are different rules with different people and in different places. And it's okay if it's a little confusing at first, but they understand sooner or later.
Well, you know, I like the essence of what you're saying, although in some families there's a lot of undermining going on. Instead of celebrating somebody else, the grandmother may say, you know, the mother may tell the children it's time to go to bed, and the grandmother may say, no. You know, that's not appropriate. That's why I suggest that you do indulge a grandparent's desire to be with your kids and, you know, be a little different with them. I agree that kids, very young children, can understand that there are different rules for different situations. So that's a very good point.
Okay.
Thanks, Yvonne.
Thank you.
We're talking with Ask Amy's Amy Dickinson today. How about our families and the problems they present at the Thanksgiving table? If you've got a problem and you need advice, or if you've got a tip for the rest of us, 800-989-8255. It's the Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And let's go now to Edie. Edie with us from Norman, Oklahoma.
Hi there.
Hi there.
My question is, what do you do when you're at a family gathering and someone makes an off-color remark, like a racist comment or a homophobic comment? This happens at almost every family gathering I attend, and it's very upsetting to me, and I really don't know what to do about it.
Have you ever done anything about it in the past?
I've talked to more immediate family about it. I think it happens more with extended family, and I've chosen just to not say anything.
Mm-hmm.
It's upsetting to me, too, to not address it.
Of course. My sort of blanket comeback that it works for me, and I agree that this is really very upsetting, that when people say things that are outrageous and wrong,
mm-hmm.
and offensive to me, I'll say, wow, I can't believe you just said that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that way you're just expressing your own, you're not having a conversation or a discussion or whatever, but you are expressing your shock.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it.
I could definitely do that.
Yeah, just try it and see, you know, see if it works.
Okay.
Go, whoa, I can't believe you just said that. You know, that's it.
Okay.
Good luck, Edie.
Thank you so much.
And, Amy, I think Edie's problem can be exacerbated a lot of the time after two or three glasses of wine have passed the table. Alcohol is a big deal.
Yeah. And, you know, this is one reason I think that a well-planned family dinner goes a little better, because part of the planning should be figuring out how to limit the alcohol if it's a problem. This is why, for instance, if you have courses, in between courses, as, you know, people are clearing the table, you can get the kid, instead of breaking out the wine, you can maybe get the kids involved and get them to sing a song, or, you know, just to sort of divert and entertain people. I love using children. Can I just say, why else do we have them, if not to use them for our entertainment?
Yeah, the rest of the year they're a problem, but they do have decorative purposes.
Right. But I do think it's really important to be very aware of how much alcohol is being consumed, and do everything you can to limit it if it's a problem.
Let's see if we can talk to Sandy. Sandy's with us from Micanopy in Florida. Is that right?
No, it's Micanopy.
Micanopy. Okay. Well, I'll get those vowels straight next time. Happy Thanksgiving. You're on the air.
Oh, thank you. And my story is about my dad. You were talking about having dinner with different people where sometimes their differences are just part of family history, I guess. My dad was a heavy drinker in his youth, and he had stopped drinking with the help of AA, but he still had, in some ways, a lot of anger built up in him. And so sometimes at family gatherings, he would come out with these verbal outbursts that used to kind of surprise us, and we just kind of look at each other. And now that he has passed on, those are just kind of part of the family lore. You know, remember this year when Grandma was there and Dad started arguing with her over this? It was never anything violent or anything. But it's just kind of part of what we talked about with him. And another interesting thing about him was that after he died, we knew that he attended AA meetings. But we never realized until his funeral and all the people came who told us how he had helped them quit drinking. And that was really interesting, and it was great for my son to hear that about his grandfather. But like I say, all those stories about my dad, even though, you know, they were kind of argumentative at the time, no other part of the family history that we all talk about.
Which leads us on to our subject that we'll get to in just a couple of minutes, which is who is missing from your Thanksgiving table this year and how do you remember them? Stories like Sandy was telling us about her dad. Sandy, thanks very much for the call and have a happy Thanksgiving. And we hope you'll remember your dad today, too.
Oh, we sure will. Thank you.
Ask Amy's Amy Dickinson will stay with us at least for a few minutes. Then she'll get back to the squash. Coming up, another side of Thanksgiving with the family again. Who's not at the table today? How will you remember them? 800-989-8255, 800-989-TALK. Email us, talk at npr.org. I'm Neil Conan. It's the Talk of the Nation from NPR News.